And now, God's to us, good to us in another way. Because we have the gentleman that's going to share his thoughts that has really taken time in his life to study God's words. He has taken the time to study it to such an extent that he can help us understand it, that he can explain things to us in such a way that we can enjoy the learning that he has allowed himself to have of God. Is not just religion, but spirituality. And that's our Dan Hare.
It's always so much fun to be here. Devlin, wow. I got goosebumps. Oh, just amazing.
Amazing, isn't she?
Oh, man.
You're amazing, honey. Thank you.
Just, yeah, just amazing. Anyway, I want to share with you in our ongoing series as we have been kind of going through the book of Ephesians. It's a book in the New Testament written by the Apostle Paul. And I always like to give a context to the book. It was written some 2,000 years ago, so we have cultural things we need to look at. The Apostle Paul was a very religious man. He was one of the top 70 religious leaders in Israel at the time, which would be kind of a cross between a cardinal in the Catholic Church and a senator in our representative government. He was way, way up there. And when Jesus came, Paul thought that what Jesus was saying was not what he had in mind. It just wasn't, it didn't fit his picture of the Messiah. And he was so upset about this that it said that he was out to kill Christians, people of the way. So here's a guy that was intent on stopping this movement. And then he had this transforming experience. He's walking down the road to Damascus or Emmaus or something, and a light comes from heaven and says, "Saul," and that was his name before his transformation, "why are you persecuting me? Why are you doing this?" And he said, "Oh, Lord, is that you?" "Yes." So he had this transformational moment. And I think for many of us, we come to the beginning of our spiritual walk from a religious point of view or from a religious place like Paul was. He was very external, very religious. Man, he followed all the laws and he was righteous, but more self-righteous than internally. So he had this experience with the living God. And so he's writing, he goes 20 years kind of in the desert, as it were, to relearn the scriptures, to relook at what he thought he knew, to get this whole new perspective. And that's kind of where we find ourselves. And when he writes this book, it's kind of, it's what they call a circular letter, in that it was passed around to churches in the area. And so when he begins to talk to us, it's really relevant to all of us who open our hearts to the living God in Christ Jesus, in the sense that these are eternal truths. And so really quickly, we're in chapter 6, which is the last chapter. The first three chapters talk about our position, okay, about our standing. And he makes this very fantastic, incredible verse, you would call it, in chapter 1. In fact, it goes from verse 3 to verse 14, but it's one sentence in the Greek. He's so excited, and he says, "Look, you're totally blessed. You lack nothing. You have everything you need on the inside. You're powerful. God chose you before the foundation of the world. He redeemed you with his blood, his sacrifice. He gave you his Holy Spirit for a future inheritance." So he says, man, get this in your mind. This is your birthright. This is the starting point. And then he goes on, he says, yeah, you missed the mark, but you're a portrait. You are a living masterpiece of God, and every one of us is different. I was in Rome several years ago now. I went over to visit my daughter. She was on a semester abroad, and we went to the Vatican. And oh my gosh, the art. And every piece of art was unbelievable, but it was different. And as I look out, every one of you is this beautiful piece of art. Everything a masterpiece, but different. Isn't that a fantastic way to think about it? And you know, some paintings have more dark shades and it contrasts the lightness. And so those dark times that you go through in your lives, it's all part of your portrait. You know, those times of loss and grief and when you mess up and when you, you know, your ups and downs. It's all part of that picture that goes into your perfect portrait, which is your life journey here on earth. As we get into chapter 4, he shifts over from your position to your practice, okay? Your practice. And he basically says, now listen, since you're the children of the living God, love one another. Really simple. Serve one another. Nothing deep or mystical about it. Love and serve. You don't need to be lesser than. You're not above. You're not below. He says, you're the child of God. And you know, and I think this really resonated with a lot of people. This whole idea is that, you know, we get so caught up, I think, in our culture about somebody else's narrative about us. And we listen, you're not this and you're not that. And we watch TV and we see all these fancy movie stars and they, you know, all these glamorous lives. And we think that we're somehow lesser than. Or if we don't go with the crowd, we're less than cool. Paul's saying, you guys, I had it all. I was at the top of the trade. I was at the top of my governmental world, my spiritual world, and I had nothing. He says, what God gave you in the Holy Spirit gives you that energy to live your life out and to kind of let that painting be done. And then we went to a section, and then we'll pick up tonight's message. Chapter 5, we talked about it was a tough one for me, actually, marriage, man and woman. And we talked about, how that works in today's world. And if you didn't hear it, it's on somebody's website. I think it's on Millie's website. You can go back, I think. Are all these messages on
there? MilliesCorner.com.
MilliesCorner.com. I think they're up there.
Most all of them are right there.
Yeah, that was very interesting. And we talked about our relationship to a couple of other things, to alcohol, to the Holy Spirit, and they're in one verse, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, don't put yourself under the influence of one at the expense of the other. You know, moderation in all things. Yield to the Holy Spirit. And when we get into those situations in life where you just don't know, just take a big breath and just ask God to come in and have his angels protect you. And just wait. You don't have to do things. Sometimes it's just best to wait. And so as we get into tonight's message, I want to talk to you about some family relationships in chapter 6. And it says in chapter 6, verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live a long life. Now, this is the first command, the first verse in the first commandment that he gives that has a promise to it. You honor your parents, you supposedly live a long life. I really never thought of that all these years. I thought, yeah, okay, that's pretty cool. And, you know, I know in my own experience, it was a tough thing. I had a real tough role with my own father. He's a tough guy, and I think now, at my age, thinking when he was my age now, what it would have been like to have me as a son. I was a handful. And so, you know, I'm sorry for all those things. But he was quite a guy. And here's the thing. We have to look at this verse in the context that it was written in. The culture that it was written in was very tribal, okay? A very tribal culture. And we have kind of a tribal culture in a class structure in America. We say we don't, but we do. But nothing to the extent that they did back then. You know, by and large, you would grow up and you would do what your father did. If you was the guy that, whatever he did, if he was the baker, you'd generally become the baker. And if he was the stone guy, that's generally what you would become. And there was this very tribal sense about it all. And in America, you know, we live in a very different country in a very different age, and we're kind of like, we have that Western independence, you know, going west and the adventure and the individualism. And so it's a very, very different contextual thing. But here's the thing. When you think about honoring your mom and dad, it's really more about a position than behavior. Because my dad was a tough character, and you know, he was by no means perfect. You know, he would tell me when he wanted my opinion and what my opinion should be. And so it was like, okay, that was a tough thing for me to get through. And it took me actually several years, decades, to kind of go through and go, wow, I'm not attached to him anymore. But I honored him. You know, when I got married, he was my best man. And I really tried to do all the things that I could to honor. And but that's the point here, is honor your mother and father because it's a position, it's not about behavior. Does that make sense? There's a big distinction there. And then you've got to ask yourself, or the thing that comes to me is, what happens if you've got a parent that wants to keep you as a junior high schooler when you screwed up? And they just won't let you go. I've got a good friend of mine, and God bless him, and his mother's 92. And when she comes out, and she's a strong old Baptist, and she's a lovely lady in so many ways, but she picks on her son who's in his 60s. Well, you know that, Eddie. I remember, and I love to banter. And I know her Baptist language, right? And I said, no, you got it wrong, you know. And I started to build them up. I started to kind of counteract it. But what do you do when your parent, adult parent, and you're an adult child now, or even if you're under 18, and I'm going to just to categorize, let's just say, you know, kids under 18 and over 18, or when you're on your own, when you're under your own household, that old-fashioned thing. But what do you do when you've got a parent that just doesn't seem to want to let you grow up, that wants to hold you to the past? You know what I'm saying? Does anybody have that? No, nobody in here. I know there's just one person. 99% of you this doesn't apply to, but there's one person I'm sure this applies to. Well, here's the thing, and I think this is the key to it all, is when you become assaulted verbally. Remember, there's honor of the position, kind of the office. It's kind of like the office of the president. You know, you may really dislike the president, and we got free speech and everything. But if you go to the White House, I guarantee you that you're going to be very respectful of the office. Okay, doesn't matter who's in it; it's the office. And this is your parents are the people that gave you life, and I've had to really wrestle with that one. That, you know, my father sired me and he gave me the opportunity. I wouldn't be here without him. And so, you know, I go back to that very, very basic thing. But what happens when they start to keep you in this mold? Well, you honor them and you go back in your mind to who you are. Yes, you're their child, but you're really the child of the living God who has everything, that you're blessed, that you're beautiful, that you're capable. All of the things that you am, you do your list, I am. You know that whole exercise. And thank God for who you are and who he made you to be. And then, I want to give you kind of a little idea here that I read from Anthony Robbins, you know, the neuro-linguistic program guy, Unlimited Power, 20 years ago or so. He talks about changing the pattern. And sometimes, you know, when you're in a confrontation or something, have you ever thought about it and it like you feel really small and you're just kind of feeling like this little junior high school person being assaulted and they're just, you know, they're pointing their finger at you and that sort of thing. And it feels really like gray and gloomy. So give a color to it, give a size to it, and give a sound to it. And then go into a place where you can basically breathe and say, you know, I am the child of the Most High. God, my Father in heaven, loves me completely. I'm on my pathway. And that size of that person, whether I'm this big or they're this giant person, like that, change their size. Bring them down to size in your mind and go through this process. And then if it feels like really gray and gloomy, take a breath and change the color. Maybe it's yellow. Maybe it's red. Maybe it's blue. Take a color that you like, that is soothing to you. And then if it's a sound and it feels like, and you're just kind of going crazy, change it and put your favorite tune on there. You know, maybe it's Michael McDonald or Kenny Loggins, or I don't know what your thing is, but change the tune. Change the dial on your radio and on your TV. Because this is the whole thing. Jesus made a fantastic, dynamic comment. He said, as a man thinks, so is he. Mm-hmm. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he says, you know, casting down imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and this is the key, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And this is what he means. Guard your heart. Don't buy into anybody else's narrative, even if it's your parents, if they're beating you up. Honor them as best you can for the position, but separate that from who you are and be bigger than they are. You know, allow the love of God to come through you. Go, yeah. Because it's almost like we have to have this, one of my favorite books and authors, Chin Chu, she wrote this book, Thick Face, Black Heart. Recommend it to all of you. I found it in the business section, again, about 20 years ago. And it's the idea of a mask that deflects the arrows, the criticisms of others. Thick face and black heart is going back to the knowledge that we have about who we are. Guard the narrative about your life. Don't buy into somebody else's narrative. And so, parents and children. Now, let's go on to the second part of it, where it says in verse 4, fathers, and let's include mothers in that, don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, here's the interesting thing. The Proverbs say, train up a child in a way that they would naturally go, in the original language, that they naturally would go, their inclinations. Even when he or she is old, he will not depart from it. And this is kind of a problem I had with in my early years. I tended to be very out-of-the-box thinker, kind of more creative and whatnot. And I was constantly trying to be forced into this box of implementing my father, who was very much like me. He was a brilliant man. And that was part of the problem, you know. But he wanted me to implement his stuff rather than allow me that creativity in so many ways. And so here's the thing. Expose your kids to a lot of things and pay attention to the way that they go. And in many ways, in our educational system in America, although we've got some challenges now, but for so many decades, we have this very broad liberal education, and we learn a lot of different subjects and areas. And we're very fortunate because we can go a lot of different pathways career-wise and interest-wise. Back in the tribal days, man, you grew up in, again, if you're a baker, you were a baker. And you would basically learn the religious book, and there was your trade, and it wasn't a lot of liberty. That makes sense? So allow your kids to express themselves and find the way that they naturally have an inclination and foster that, you know, providing it's not dangerous. Well, you know what I mean. Okay. And then I want to just share a bit about slaves and masters. We've got about 5 minutes left, and I want to get through this book, so this is very important. Okay, so he goes on and he says, slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ. not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will render service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing comes from each one of these, this you will receive back from the Lord, whether you're a slave or free. Now, here's another verse that we've got to be very careful about the context. We don't have slaves today in the same way that they had slaves 2,000 years ago. Okay, we don't have them. It's against the law. We did at one point in our history, and it's kind of a real black mark on our history. So the closest parallel that I can suggest is your job. But there's a couple of little differences. If you've got a job and you go to work, have a good attitude. Treat it, your job, as though you were doing it for the Lord himself. And if you can't, quit your job. Go get another one. Because here's the thing. If you treat your employer, his business as your business, my gosh, chances are you're going to elevate, they're going to love you, because you're looking out for their concerns. And I remember, I've been in a variety of jobs over the years, I've done a lot of things, and you know, you go to work and people go, and this and that, and the boss is this, and there's this constant complaining. You know what? It doesn't serve you. It doesn't serve your career, and it's not a good example to the Lord or of the Lord. So when you serve, when you go to work, do it as though you were serving the Lord. Okay? Does that make sense? Really basic, really simple. But do it as though you serve the Lord. And if you can't, get another job. And if you're having a problem with a person, go to that special place and realize that you're really not working for that boss. You're really working for the Lord, because that's your where you are at that time in your life. And whether you're, you know, unemployed on the streets or you're in some executive suite, it's your light. It's the example, the radiance of the living God that comes through you. That's the most important thing. Okay, so quit complaining if you're complaining at work. Change your attitude and realize it's for something much bigger. And then he goes on, and this is real interesting, because he says, at the end of the day, whether you're free or whether you're not free, in that culture, you're all the same before the Lord. We're all human beings, and we all have this capability of being a vessel and a channel for the living God. And this is really great about this church, because, you know, we teach this, and Millie's been such a great example, is that we get to be a channel to other people to lift them up. And that's really what our job is to lift people up. Can't do that in a complaining environment. I get once, you know, you're going to complain here and there. But overall, make sure that your attitude is right, because the Lord has you there for a reason. You know, I was thinking about how difficult it can be to be in a job that with a tough employer, right? And when I did a documentary on Iraq, I interviewed a general, George Sada, who was an Assyrian Christian, and he was the second highest in the Air Force. And he knew Saddam before Saddam's ascent, because their wives taught grade school together. And it was always one of those, oh, it's George, he's an Assyrian, he's no threat. And he rose up, and he was a very capable general. And as time went on, God actually put him in a position strategically to talk Saddam. Well, he didn't talk him out of it. You can't put it in that framework. But he was asked, if we bomb Israel, what will happen? And he came back and he says, well, your honor, your royal highness, or whatever they say in Arabic, he says, if I tell you, will you not kill the messenger? And he says, yeah, you were fine. Because they went back 20, 30 years. And he says, well, it wouldn't be a good idea, because of retaliation, you'd be obliterated. And I'm thinking to myself, that's a tough boss to work for. Can you imagine the courage? And he was this man that always did his best. And I remember interviewing him and looking into his eyes. And he had the deepest dark eyes, but he had this resonance. It was just absolutely a fascinating interview. And so, again, God has you exactly where you are for a purpose. wherever it is. And as you have a good attitude, I'm gonna say you're gonna see doors open, and you're gonna have different opportunities come up. And so, at the end of the day, Paul says to Timothy, and Timothy was a young man at the time. He says, Timothy, God has given you a spirit of strength, a spirit of sound mind, a spirit of courage. And that's what I want you guys to go out with, in the sense is that we're empowered. We're less than nobody. In fact, we have the infinite spirit of the living God within us. And when we walk and we keep that I am here for a reason. What is my service in this moment? In the Indian tradition, it's called dharma. What's my dharma? What is my purpose in this moment? Realize that every moment of your life, there's a purpose. Be looking for it. When you meet somebody new, it's a divine appointment. You know, you never know what little thing you might say or kind service that you might do that would change that person's very life. Okay? I think that's it. I'm done. Thank you.